Good morning, everybody. It's time for us to begin. If you'll be taking your Bibles and turning to Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1. All right, we've been taking a look at the concept of alleged Bible contradictions and specifically looking at five principles that we need to remember whenever we are faced with an alleged contradiction that will help us to understand the solution, the reconciliation. How do we reconcile these so-called contradictions? And we're going to be utilizing one of those principles this morning with a couple of alleged contradictions that people will point out. Here they are, right here, these helpful principles. We need to remember that just because an author selects certain details and leaves out others does not mean that he is denying those details ever happened. That imprecision, not being precise, is not the same thing as being inaccurate. Compression of time and events is not errant. Thematic ordering is obviously not chronological. There are times in which the authors are purposefully chronological. There are times that they're not, because they are ordering their material by themes rather than chronology. And then lastly, that we looked at last time, mystery is not irreconcilable. Just because we don't know what the answer would be, because there are several possible solutions and we just don't really know, does not mean that we cannot, or that it cannot be reconciled, and so therefore is a contradiction. So from this point forward, what I want us to do is I'm just going to be picking out some of the main alleged contradictions that you will hear people state, that you will read about. And so for the rest of this quarter, that's what we're going to be doing. We're just going to be looking at two to three, depending upon how long it takes for each one, two to three to four, each class. And what I want us to do is I'm going to present these alleged contradictions, and then I want you to respond to them. I want to hear your thoughts and possible solutions to that. How would you answer your friend, your colleague, your neighbor, your family member who comes to you and says, well, what about this? The Bible says this here, and then it says this over here. Isn't that a contradiction? I want to hear what you would say as we go along. So this morning, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you a question that you should know the answer to, that is very, very easy. At least that's what we think. But the skeptics will say otherwise. Okay, so here's the question. Were plants or humans created first? According to the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, were plants or humans created first? JoJo, you got a little smirk on your face. Would you like to answer this? You say plants. Who else says plants? Raise your hand if you believe that plants were created first. Okay. I think that's going to be the majority of everybody. Some of you are not going to raise your hands no matter what I ask, no matter how many times I ask you to raise your hand. You're not going to raise your hand no matter what. So I'm just going to assume that that you believe that the Bible states that plants were created first. How many of you went through the song in your head from the children's song? Did you have to do that? Now, does that tell you what day they were created on? What day were the plants created on? Third day. Okay, you're cheating. You're looking at your Bible. I did tell you to open your Bibles at Genesis 1, didn't I? Yeah, the third day. I have to confess, I am the world's worst when it comes to remembering what happened on what day. My wife, since she teaches the baby's class and kids' classes from time to time, and always has, she knows those kids' songs, and she'll do that. She'll do that with the judges, and she can name the judges and all these other things because of those songs. I'm terrible about that. I can't do that. So were plants or humans created first? The only reason I know the answer to this question is because I know that the Bible states that humans were the last thing created, right, on the sixth day. Okay, so here's what the text says, if I can get it to advance. Genesis chapter 1, look at your Bibles at verse 11. You can see it on the screen here as well. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And then skipping to verse 13, so the evening and the morning were the third day. So according to Genesis 1, plants were created on the third day. Of the 6 days of creation, this happened on the third day. And then in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then skip down to verse 31, and it says, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, we learned a long time ago that three comes before six, right? So plants were created before humans. Anybody disagree with this? Anybody not understand this? Okay, good. We're all on the same page here. It seems very straightforward, right? Flip over to chapter 2, though. And here's where the issue comes in. And this is what skeptics will point to and say, you see, there is a different order of creation in chapter 2 than what we find in chapter 1. And things are in different orders. Things were created first. Different things were created before other things as related to us and recorded to us in chapter 1. Specifically, take a look at verses 4 through 9. This is the history. Now pay attention to the order in these verses. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man. So this, it says, is before any plant and before any herb. So before the plants, and now it says, there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And then notice this. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. According to Genesis 2, verses 4 through 9, which came first, plants or man? Terry's still sticking to plants. How does this read, though? Does it sound like plants came first, or does it sound like man came first? Sounds like man came first. Okay, it says this was the history before any plant and before any herb, and there was no man. So, blank slate here. And then it says God formed man, and then Eden was formed afterwards, and he puts him in Eden, and then out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow. So is there a contradiction between this passage, this creation account, and Genesis 1? Paul? Right. Right, there was nothing yet. Started with a blank slate, no plant, and no man yet. And so, starting with that blank slate, then it proceeds in Genesis 2 to talk about forming man first and then plants. So how would you reconcile this, Jeff? Okay. Jeff says that these verses could be talking specifically about the garden, not all the plants all over the earth. And so there is potentially a special creation, if so to say, that's taking place with just the plants in the Garden of Eden that has taken place after the formation of Adam. Saying correctly what you had in mind? Okay. That is a very common and plausible explanation that Genesis 1 is talking in generalities. Genesis 2 is talking about specifically after all the other plants were created, after man was created. Then he proceeded with the Garden of Eden, created it, set man in there, and you know all the trees and so forth came in that particular place. Now, does that contradict? I mean, is there anything found in chapter 1 that would prevent that from being the case? That would say, well, God couldn't have created anything else. He wasn't allowed to create anything else after he created Adam and Eve. Well, at this point, Eve was not created. Lauren? Okay. Lauren is wondering if is speaking of something as if it had happened, though it had not already happened, because it was in God's plan, it was in God's mind to create him, even though it hadn't technically happened yet. I don't think that would be the case here, because it does speak in very definite terms of it had been done, and this is exactly what he was doing. Not like in the New Testament, where it speaks about Jesus being slain since the foundation of the world. You know, just talking about future events as if it had already happened. Go ahead, Linda. Okay. All right. So the mist is talking about the coming of the plants, and so maybe that's it doesn't mean that it hasn't occurred yet or occurred before man. Did you have your hand up? Yeah, from what Terry is saying and what Jeff is saying, and I'll get you in just a moment, Roger, their explanation is that Genesis 1 happens as it says it did. Day 3 was the plants, day 6 was man. And so you've got 3 days there that man is existing alongside the plants that had already been made. But then after Adam was created, God then created the Garden of Eden and moved Adam into the Garden of Eden. And there were trees and so forth. And it even mentions two of the trees that were created in the Garden of Eden. Which two trees specifically? Tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and then other trees that provided fruit to eat and you know, food for them. Okay, so that's one possibility. And I believe it's very plausible. I think that the way it's written certainly allows for that. And I don't believe there's anything in chapter 1 that would prevent that from being the case. That would say, no, it can't happen that way. Okay. What I do think can't happen, though, is for these to be contradictory. For in chapter 1, it says plants came first and then humans 3 days later. And then in chapter 2, to reverse the order and say there was no plants until after Adam was created. That would be a contradiction, would it not? Okay, Roger?
Well, I'm not sure.
There's one other explanation, by the way.
I'm just looking at the food part of it. The food is there for man to eat. It mm-hmm. mentioned that both in chapter 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And He's created before there's food for him to eat. And this seems to be theme oriented. The first one is chronologically oriented to me.
Okay, for those of you who couldn't hear what Roger said, this is his explanation. This is thematic ordering, not chronological. And that makes perfect sense as well. That what we have in chapter 2, and it may be a combination of the two, or you know, it could be both, I don't know. But what we have in chapter 2 is God is now zeroing in on some specific details of what took place in chapter 1, but he's not concerned about chronology. What's the main point of chapter 2, and specifically these verses? Is it order? Is it chronology? Is it when things were created? Is that the ultimate purpose of what we find in chapter 2? Everybody shake your head this way. No. In chapter 1, is it obvious that there is an order, that there is a chronology, and that God wanted that to be spelled out? Is that obvious in chapter 1? Okay, how do we know that? He gave the specific days, first day, evening and morning, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Very literal way of saying it. And by the way, I'll just, little side comment here. There is no reason to take those as figurative days, as in eons. So to try to come up with this theistic evolution idea and theory, all signs point to this being literal 6 days. And it is very specific. Chapter 2 is not that way. There is nothing that says in chapter 2 what day things are happening on. It's not focusing on order. It's focusing on themes, not chronology. It's focusing on something specific and what he's getting to. And there are obviously different subjects in chapter 2, but one of them is, and probably the main one is, well, now man's home that he has prepared for him. I mean, he made all the earth, and he's got the plants and the food and so forth for 3 days before, I mean, it's there for 3 days before man is created. But then he creates man, and then he creates the Garden of Eden, and he puts him in the Garden of Eden. Again, not necessarily in that order. It could be the Garden of Eden came first before Adam. We're not required to take that in a chronological sense. But certainly what we see throughout chapter 2 is thematic, not chronological. Does everybody see that? Anybody have questions about that? Need more clarification about that? Yes, everything was full grown and ready to go from the get go, which of course brings us to the age old question. Y'all know where I'm going with this? The chicken or the egg? Well, that too. The chicken came first, obviously. I mean, that's an easy question to answer if you believe in the scriptures, right? Chicken came first, but if everything was made complete and full grown and you know, mature, then did Adam and Eve have what? Do they have belly buttons? Yeah, we don't know, and it doesn't matter. They would have looked odd without them to us, but we don't know. That was just for fun. Roger.
This is not what you're talking about, but you mentioned a while ago about the day and night, 24-hour day. One thing I've wrestled with on that, and that is,
the Repeat that final question. How do we know what?
How do we know that these periods were 24-hour periods before he created the sun and the moon that divided them into 24-hour periods?
Okay. That's a good question.
A different trail altogether.
Yeah. Good question. Roger is asking about the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars and how it says in verse 14 about how they are meant to be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and that they divide the day from the night and so forth. Well, before that, I mean, what happened before that? Were they 24-hour days before that? The only thing I can answer is, Roger, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm assuming that God had set that up, that, you know, from the very beginning, made it. While there was no specific day and night until the sun and moon, and I mean, there was light, like you said, God created light, intrinsic light. We don't know. I mean, God is light. He's described as being a source of light. It certainly wasn't light from the sun or from stars. But when you get to verse 14, I think really what the emphasis there is simply stating that what their purpose is. I don't think there's any reason to think that the days before that, the 3 days before that, were not 24-hour periods. I mean, he's setting up a law and an order from the very beginning. This is the way it is and the way it's going to be. Right. So apparently, maybe the light was gone during the half of the day. Yeah.
Light and darkness apparently
existed. Right.
Existed.
Just that.
Therefore, he created the sun and the moon to exist with that changing of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I guess, and it sounds reasonable to me, that that intrinsic light, whatever that source of light was, that light probably maybe went away during what we call the night and then came back. I don't know. Seems to indicate that, at least. Robbie? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I could handle that light cycle in Alaska. Okay, so what we have here, again, is two possible explanations, and it may be both, but maybe you do have some chronology here, but really what you have overall in chapter 2 is God focusing on themes, on topics, rather than on chronology. Also, let me point out this to you. In verse 4, the first couple of sentences here are really just introduction to the rest of it. When it says that this is the history before any plant, before any herb, and there was no man there to till the ground, that's kind of like verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's just an introductory verse. The rest of the chapter explains verse 1, the creation of the heavens and the earth. It's not like he created the heavens and the earth and then he did everything else from verse 2 forward after that. No, verse 1 is introductory. And same thing with verses 4 and 5 here and verse 6. So you have, again, this blank slate, and then he just focuses in on specifically the creation of man and the Garden of Eden. But notice how it says there is no man to till the ground. When do we see man first tilling the ground? After sin. After the curse. He didn't have to do that before. This is actually looking ahead to what we find out happens in chapter 3. And the mist and the rain and so forth. I know some people have used this verse to say that maybe it didn't rain until the flood. We don't know that for sure. I tend to think that what this is saying is there was no need for rain until it was time for man to cultivate the ground and the seeds and so forth. And that then we needed the rain for sure. But this is looking forward to and presupposing what happens in chapter 3. And so you have themes here. Even the theme of the curse come up here in chapter 1 before it even happens. Okay. Any other questions on this alleged contradiction? Okay, so that one, not too hard. I think that we can see very reasonable explanations for that. Staying here in chapter 1 and 2, though, here's another question for you that shouldn't be too difficult for you. Were animals or humans created first? Raise your hand if you think animals were created first. Okay, everybody should be raising their hand. At least that's what Genesis 1 tells us, correct? Let's take a look at some verses in Genesis 1. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." Dropping down to verse 23, it says, "So the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So we see sea creatures, those animals that live in the water, in the rivers, in the lakes, and in the oceans, and the birds, the flying creatures, were created on day 5. And then in Genesis 1, verse 24, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so." Dropping down to verse 31, we see that that happened on the sixth day. So, fifth day were the water animals and the birds, according to chapter 1. And then on the sixth day, and according to chapter 1, this happened before man was created, you have the land animals created. Then, in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." Again, this is on the sixth day. So according to chapter 1, the order, and as we've noted, the purpose of chapter 1 is to show chronology. There is a definite order of events in chapter 1. And so the order here is the sea creatures and the flying creatures on day 5, then the land animals on day 6, and then humans on day 6. So what's the issue? Why would there even be a question about whether or not animals came first or whether or not man came first? Let's go to chapter 2 again. Take a look at verses 18 and 19. There it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And note this statement here. "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and then brought them to Adam to see what he would call them." According to Genesis 2, 18 and 19, which came first, man or animals, or animals or man? According to verse 19, sounds like man came first. He created Adam, and then he formed the other animals out of the ground, just like he had formed Adam out of the ground. He formed the other animals and brought them to him so that he could name them.
Yeah.
We're dealing with the same point we made with the previous alleged contradiction. We're in chapter 2 again. Chapter 2 is not chronological. Chapter 2 is not meant to be chronological. And so he's not trying to say this happened and then this happened and then this happened in this specific order. Nathaniel? Yeah. Nathaniel makes the point that what's going on here is he's simply making a statement of what had already happened, and now he's bringing the animals to Adam. What is the point of these verses? Is it to determine which came first, or is it to point out the need for a helpmeet, for a helper, for a mate for Adam? What's the point of these verses? The former or the latter? The latter. He's not focusing on the order of creation in these verses and the surrounding verses, only focused on verse 19. He's concerned with finding a helper comparable to him, and we know in the very next set of verses that it talks about how he didn't find anything that was suitable for him. And that was all by God's design, of course. It was to teach Adam and have draw Adam to that conclusion himself, because he could see that everything else had a mate. He could see that the birds had male and female, and they had a mate. That the elephants, there was male and female, they had a mate for each other and on down the line, but he was left alone. That's the point. So then this leads to the creation of Eve. The point is not chronology. It's not what he's trying to do. Also, who has the ESV? Anybody using the ESV? Can you read verse 19, please? Okay, I'll stop you right there. Out of the ground, the Lord God had formed. Not formed, had formed. In other words, it had already been done, Nathaniel. That's what you're saying. Who has the NIV? Karen, do you have that? Had formed. So of the big four translations, New King James, ESV, New American Standard, and the NIV, two of them, rightfully, because this is a very acceptable Hebrew translation of the verb, I believe it's called the pluperfect sense. For those of you in English, you may be familiar with that terminology. But it's already happened. Not just the plain old past tense or present tense, whatever it's called, where it says he formed every beast. No, he had formed, and then he brought them to him. The wording there, the Hebrew words that are used there, can be, and it rightfully translated, had formed, and that probably should be the case to get the sentence across better. So again, chronology is not in view. Themes are, subject matter is, but not chronology. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about that or comments about that? Danny? Who is this kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Danny brings up one of the biggest and most popular alleged contradictions that we're actually going to address, where Saul in 1 Kings or 1 Samuel chapter 16 acts like he doesn't know who David is when after he goes and fights Goliath, and he asks at the end of that chapter, he asks, who's this kid's father? Who is this kid? You know, they just killed Goliath. And yet the previous chapter, he's already been dealing with David and had him playing the harp for him and so forth. And that may be, you know, the explanation about chronology is not in mind of the writer. But that's something that we will certainly look at when we get to that passage. So again, here in chapter 2, don't focus on chronology. Focus on themes. Focus on subject matter. Focus on topics rather than chronology.
Adam was put in the Garden of Eden before Eve was ever created.
This guy is just zooming in on certain things here and there of the events of day six and not focused on chronology. I like this quote that I found. Genesis 1 mentions the creation of man as the last of a series and without any details, whereas in Genesis 2, man is the center of interest and more specific details are given about him and his setting. Failure to recognize the complementary nature of the subject, distinction between a skeleton outline of all creation on the one hand, and the concentration in detail on man and his immediate environment on the other, borders on obscurantism, which is a fancy word for saying refusing to accept knowledge and clarity and wanting to muddy the waters. So you got to understand, chapter one is that skeleton outline. Chapter 2 is fleshing it out, adding some details to some of those events and focusing on man and his environment and the context. There is no contradiction. All it takes is a little bit of reasoning and logic and brain power to see that there are very plausible explanations. I mean, we're not having to jump through a bunch of hoops here or anything. We're not straining at this. This is obvious with just a little bit of research and acting fairly with the text. Okay? All right, one final question that I want to address. This is not really a contradiction, but this is something that will come up here in chapter 2 that sometimes you will hear. Is there way too much activity to have taken place in day six? Consider what all happened, especially with the animals and Adam. I mean, you've got the creation of the animals. Granted, that would have been just, God spoke it happened. We don't have to take any time for that. But you've got the garden, and then Adam is placed in the garden, and then he's got all these animals that he's got to name. How did he round up all these animals? I mean, considering the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of species on the earth, and we know that there have been numerous species, hundreds if not thousands, that are now extinct that would have been present in Adam's day, how on earth did he have time to go through and name all those in one day or less than a day? Anybody want to take a stab at that? We got 30 seconds. Oh, okay. The woman could get it done faster. So create the woman, then she'll finish with that. That's funny. So here is a very easy explanation. Two parts to this. One, what is not included in the verses about, or what animals are not included in the verses about which ones he named? No, not the dinosaurs. The sea creatures. So that takes out a whole bunch right there. And then number two, he didn't have the Linnaean classification system that we go by today. He would have been, in general terms, that's a bird. That's a dog. That's an elephant. In whatever words he used, of course. And is there anything to necessitate him naming every single species of creature there? No. The whole point of this is he saw enough of the animals, at least, and the land animals, obviously, and the birds, to see that, okay, they've got mates. I don't. I'm alone. He didn't go through every single species and every single variety of each species or each kind or whatever. Just broad categories would be all that was needed to accomplish this. Okay, so that could have happened very, very quickly. And God brought him the animals too. He didn't have to go out and round them up.